This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
All right, first things first. If I'm coming in on the weekends, I got to have a custom. This is Ryan Covey. This is Tommy Tall. That right there, not going to cut it. So get me Hegan on the phone. Get Danny Fry. Get Carl. Get Whitley. Get whoever. Get Brian Ratto. All right. Get Ray
time.
Ratto.
We're big time.
Yeah, come on, man. Come Let's on. Go. Tommy Call, Ryan Covey. What, we got you sewn up for the next 4 hours?
Long show.
You ready?
I'm locked in.
That's just a normal show around here. That's just how we
do it. Well,
this
is the big leagues for me. You know, I got bumped up today.
No doubt. Well,
you know,
welcome.
I got moved up in the lineup a little bit.
Hey,
I'm batting fourth.
Yeah, you were down in Santa Cruz. You had a triple-double last night. So, like, come on, let's go.
It was more of like a necessity need basis. Like, we just need a healthy body out there.
Yeah, hey, man, we got to dress eight, right? We had seven. We got to dress eight. Yeah. So, great news, Tommy. You're on the roster
tonight. I'm ready
tonight.
To go. Yeah, you got in uniform.
You do. Yeah, you got your little per diem check, and you know, you showed up on time, which was good. You left your cell phone in the locker room. So
well,
very good.
Speaking of uniform, no Santa Claus outfits for us today.
No,
we
and I know it's jumping off in the city today, right?
I have one. I wish I would have worn it, just showing up in the fit.
You know what? I actually, when I was in school in Chico, you know, Halloween goes big up in Chico.
Oh, yeah.
I went 1 year on Halloween as Santa Claus, which was game.
I swear to you, that's why I got my costume. Me and the lady 1 year, like a year ago, we were Santa and an elf for Halloween.
That's pretty strong.
And it was, like you said, I mean, absolutely. If for the people out there going to SantaCon today, next Halloween, rock the Santa suit on Halloween.
Yeah.
People love it.
That's a player move.
People love it.
Who doesn't love Santa Claus, too? And I got to be honest, dude. I love Christmas. Like, this is my favorite time of year.
Yeah.
Not just because of the holiday season and good tidings to all folks everywhere. And it's a time to give. And, you know, I had something pretty incredible happen on these airwaves last weekend when Coz and I did a show on Black Friday. A bunch of people came through. A bunch of listeners kind of spur of the moment. It was really organic and special, man. Came through and raised a bunch of money for my cousins who lost their house up in Napa in a fire a couple of weeks ago. So the giving is in the air, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing that I love about this time of year, it's big boy football time, Tommy.
It is.
It's big boy football.
There's something the cold weather, too. And we're out here on the West Coast. We've never – I know you're a Bears fan, so bear weather, right?
Yeah.
But just seeing it on TV, it gives you a little bit of goosebumps, right?
Of course.
It's just, you know, those games mean a little more. Weirdly enough.
Of course, man. And that's it. Like, it's funny. We had Eric Davis on the Butcher Shop this week, and I've heard the notion, I've heard the take before that the NFL season, a lot of players feel like it begins at Thanksgiving, right? Mm. That's like when the season really begins in earnest. And I asked Eric Davis that. I was like, did you guys kind of feel that way as a player? He's like, nah, he's all, season began for us in January. We're trying to win a Super Bowl every year. I was like, all right, well, that's one way to talk it up. Okay, okay, got that. But I think for a lot of teams, like the 49ers right now, the last couple weeks, it started with that Green Bay game, Tommy. Mm. Like, the big boy football is really underway.
Yeah, that's exactly. I was wanted to ask, you know, do you think the 49ers feel that way? Because this is a team that, let's be honest, did they have the expectation to be in this position where they are now? And the fact that they're here, you have to have those January aspirations, like Eric Davis said. I think now you look at it and say, all right, the season is really here. And especially with what Seattle did this past week, now it's, I mean, it's make or break time every game the rest of the way.
Yeah, their back is to the wall, man. There's no doubt about it.
10-2.
Yeah, they're two field goals away from being 12-0, you know, coming up on the middle of December, and yet they're in second place in the NFC West. You know, we could talk about playoff seeding, and we'll get into that a little bit as the show goes on, and just what it would mean for the 49ers to be the NFC West champ and what that route entails, excuse me, versus being the wild card and the different paths. I heard a stat yesterday, and I want to throw this out there. I heard it on Damon's show, so full credit to Damon Bruce, who gave us this nuggy nug yesterday. The San Francisco 49ers, as you know, have 5 Lombardi trophies, right, as a franchise. The quest for 6 remains underway. The San Francisco 49ers, as a franchise throughout their history, have a total of 5 road playoff wins.
Wow.
So they have as many road playoff wins as they do Lombardi trophies. Mm. That's how uncommon it is. And guess what? Three of those came in a two-year span with Colin Kaepernick in 2012 and 2013.
Wow.
So other than that, it was Joe Montana beating the Bears in the NFC title game in, what was it, 88?
Okay.
And then they won a divisional round game against the Vikings in 1970.
Wow.
That's it.
That's And I was talking to Ryan before the show, and he was saying that—
Ryan Mauser, our producer.
How this is going to be setting up, he's going to probably play the NFC East if they stick in this wild card position, which— Anytime a team has been under 500 and made the playoffs, the last two times that's happened, the under 500 team has won.
Wow. Well, and I'll tell you what, like, when you talk about what the expectations for this team coming into the season, you know, just look the part of a competent NFL franchise, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're coming off 2-10-22 seasons. The questions would be, is Jimmy Garoppolo a franchise quarterback? Who's Nick Bosa? Mm. How do these free agents, you know, fit in? Is Robert Saleh going to keep his job? Like, this was the year to show those gains, but at the same time, nobody was expecting this. Having said all that, you have to just, like, throw those thoughts to the side now.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of callers say, hey, this has been a great year. You know, they're a year ahead of schedule. No. This is the NFL. Success is so fleeting. It can be here 1 minute, gone the next. Injuries.
Look at the LA Rams.
Yeah.
They're in the Super Bowl last year.
Look at the Chicago Bears.
They look like a dumpster fire, like close to it, right?
Absolutely.
That magic of Sean McVay where everybody wanted that guy on your team as your coach or a product of him, something along the way.
Sure.
Now it's almost ugly looking.
Look at the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought they were a Super Bowl favorite this year.
How many teams that we thought were going to be good for several years have just faded into
Atlanta.
Oblivion? Right. Absolutely. That 28-3 just destroyed that franchise. But see, that's the point.
Mm.
So if you're the 49ers and you're their fan base, like, you have to be thinking, let's go get the Lombardi Trophy this year.
Yes,
and I got to tell you, Tommy, not winning the NFC West means you don't win the Super Bowl this year,
yeah.
Okay? That's how strongly
wow.
I feel about
yeah.
it. So with that in mind, I feel like the 49ers, that loss in Baltimore last weekend, if they really want to win the Super Bowl, that's got to be it. They literally can't afford to lose another football game.
So you're saying almost that you're going to put the label of the must win on every game.
Every game's do or die.
Because you're in the last, technically how you look at it, it's the last quarter of the season,
yeah.
right? That that football cliche, it's like, how do you look in four-game increments.
Yeah, break up into four quarters.
Yeah, and so we're in that last quarter. You're holding the four up in the air
now. No doubt.
I love that, too. I love seeing that on the sideline.
Oh, for sure, yeah. man. It just gives it,
put the four up. If you're driving right now, hold it up.
No doubt. You know, you're like me, Tommy. We just want to inject this stuff into our veins all day. All right, so let me ask you this, 49ers fans, at 888-957-9570 and on the Chilton Autobody text line 95795. Can the 49ers afford to lose another game this year if they really want to win a Lombardi Trophy? I don't feel like they can.
Mm.
I feel like it's got to be must win. It starts in New Orleans this weekend, and we'll delve plenty into that. But just the road, the difference. For those that don't know how the playoff seeding works, if the 49ers are a wild card, what that means is they have to go on the road. They'll be the number one wild card.
Mm.
So they would have to go on the road against the worst of the two division winners that didn't get a bye. So that right now, that would be the Dallas Cowboys, potentially the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
So that involves travel. That involves playing in a road game. And I just mentioned the stats. 5 road wins in franchise history in the playoffs for the 49ers. The vaunted 49ers only have 5. It's so hard to win on the road in the playoffs. The fact that Colin Kaepernick won 2 in the same year and almost won the NFC title game, damn near unprecedented.
Well, and those two teams that you just mentioned, I understand everybody's kind of laughing at the NFC East right now. But really, do you want to see a Doug Peterson in the first round of the playoffs?
No.
A guy that's won a
Super Bowl. Ask the Bears.
Yeah, this guy has been there, done that, and even... I know his name has so much bad juju around it, but Jason Garrett's been there before, too. There is something to be said by just a team that's been to the playoffs before, because everybody talks about it. That it's just a different season, right?
Yeah.
And Kyle Shanahan, we haven't seen him there.
Absolutely. And now, obviously, we know he's been there as a coordinator.
Yeah.
And some things that you could kind of hang your hat on as a 49er fan, Jimmy Garoppolo has been to a couple Super Bowls. Obviously, didn't play in him because he was Tom Brady's understudy. But he had to go through that whole process, Tommy, as if he was going to play, right? When you're the backup, you have to assume that Tom Brady's going to nuke his knee on the first play of the game and you're going to be called into service and have to go win the Super Bowl. So all the mental preparation, all the film time, the game plan implementation, all that, Jimmy Garoppolo had to go through all that as if he was going to play. Now, it's obviously not the same thing because, you know, in the back of your mind, you're probably not going to play versus if you are the starter. But he knows what that entails, right?
Mm.
Richard Sherman, he's hoisted the Lombardi Trophy. He knows what time it is. Emmanuel Sanders, he's been to the top of the mountain. He knows what's going on. So it'll be up to those guys to kind of lead the way and help these other guys, these young guys, understand who haven't had a taste of the playoffs yet. George Kittle, Fred Warner, Akilah Witherspoon, yeah. Nick Bosa. Yeah. I just can't wait to see what these guys got up their sleeve, man. Because you're right. I mean, it's four is up in the air, baby. Mm-hmm. It's time.
Just to play devil's advocate to that, though, because we've talked, I think we had a show leading up to this three-week stretch of Green Bay, Baltimore, New Orleans. We're on the, you know, the bottom half of it now.
Yeah.
Having those three games and having the mentality of every game's a playoff game, right? Does that kind of benefit you, though, for this type of situation that we're talking about?
Sure.
It's almost a good thing in a way.
Yeah.
Because we're really seeing how this team is going to have to respond.
Right.
Right? Well, they have to react to everything Seattle does the rest of the way.
Yeah, and a handful of teams have won the Super Bowl as a wild card, and that's really, you know, those teams that have gone through that. A lot of times, you know, they didn't lock up that last wild card until the final week or two of the season. You know, they had to get hot down the stretch and then carry that into the playoffs. Momentum can carry over from week to week in the NFL.
Sure.
I firmly believe that.
I agree with you.
The problem is to sustain that, Tommy, for so long, because you could really kind of trace it back to the Packer game as like when this gauntlet of a stretch began. They were facing three teams with an 8-2 record all in a row.
Yeah.
Never happened in NFL
history.
Toughest
in NFL history.
That's
yeah.
it. So it really traced back to that. My one concern would be the kind of the fatigue factor. It's hard to maintain that level of focus and adrenaline just week in and week out. Every team lays an egg. And let's be real, Tommy. This 49ers team, they look like the Pittsburgh game, they probably deserve to lose, okay? But they found a way to win, and that's what good
teams
do.
They've won sloppy. Yes.
They have. But for the most part, though, they haven't come out and had a clunker yet. And, I mean, the team they're going to play Sunday, the New Orleans Saints, they lost to the Falcons in New Orleans.
They've had three games this year where they haven't scored a touchdown.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So they've had some clunkers.
Yeah.
And obviously we know they lost their quarterback, and I think Teddy Bridgewater did a terrific job. But Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh have done a magnificent job keeping these guys focused. Kind of, I know it's the old cliche, but taking it one week at a time. But they've done a nice job doing that. It just, do you feel like at some point the clunker's got to come in a 16-game schedule, right?
I feel like times it's showed its head, like, against even Washington, right, where you score 9 points against them. Granted, it's in a monsoon and things like that.
Yeah, it's hard to take away anything from that game.
Yeah, where they've had their times where it's been. But what scares me about this game specifically, if we're going to go into like the New Orleans factor of this game, is every week, I think, leading up till now, against some of the best teams that the 49ers have played this season, you always give a little bit of an edge to Kyle Shanahan, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even last week against a guy like Harbaugh, just because – you're looking at Greg Roman and things like that. Like, yeah, this guy's an extremely successful coach. This week, though, Sean Payton, I mean, this is the OG offensive guru, right?
Yeah,
people forget about that. This is the original young, sexy offensive coordinator to bring all these things to the next level. I mean, he's set the path for a guy like Kyle Shanahan.
Absolutely.
So this is where you're going, yeah, you probably give that advantage to Sean Payton. And how important this game is, that's where it comes to me. You throw Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, all that. Just the Sean Payton factor of what he has sitting and waiting for this 49er team,
yeah,
that scares me a little bit.
Absolutely. Sean Payton, one of the preeminent offensive minds of this era. I think it's him and Andy Reid on that, you know, on that list of guys that when you think of offense, you know, stability and,
no doubt,
you know, just consistency, those are the two names that pop up. All right, so 888-957-9570 is the number. Tommy Call, Ryan Covey. We're guest-free till about 2:20, so we invite you to join the proceedings if you're riding around sitting in the rain right now. What's your concern heading into this weekend? What do you think this game is hinging on? Obviously, massively important for the 49ers, and they won't know the Seattle result, of course, so they just need to go out and handle their business and hope that the Rams can beat the Seahawks. But what's this game hinging on for you, and do you think if the 49ers want to win a Lombardi Trophy this year, they need to literally win every single game they have remaining. We'll talk about all that and more. 888-957-9570 is the numbers. Tommy Call and Ryan Covey right here, 95.7 The Gazette.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, man, just rolling along here on a Saturday afternoon. A little rainy out there, so just take her easy. Tommy Call, Ryan Covey. We got you buttoned up for the next 4 hours. I got young Bobby. Bobby's Bangers on the board doing his thing. Shout out Bobby and Ryan Mauser producing the show. We're going to talk a little Dubs a little bit later on with Connor Letourneau. John DeShazer is going to join us. He's a senior writer from NewOrleansSaints.com and the Pelicans radio color analyst. So we'll do a little Bayou check-in with John. And then my good buddy Brian Peacock, who's the host of Locked On 49ers podcast, going to join us at 4:20, bro.
I love my guy Brian Peacock.
That's my family right
there.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's my family.
Great job. Great podcast.
Dude,
podcast.
That pod kills it.
Yeah, great podcast.
So yeah,
I've been a guest before.
Oh yeah,
got to get some shots up on that podcast.
Oh yeah, before. No doubt. Yeah. I've got a triple double on the pod before.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I went double double. I feel like you're a volume guy.
You're just letting it fly.
I'm a willing passer.
Gotcha.
That's me. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I like setting guys up.
Okay.
That's if you're gonna sit in the one chair, like you got to be a willing passer. Get set guys up. Yeah. All right, 888-957-9570. Where's your concern level with this game? And do you think the 49ers need to win out if they want to win a Lombardi trophy? I think they do. Before I get to the calls, Tommy, I'll ask you. Do the 49ers need to win out to win a Lombardi trophy in your estimation, or can they afford to take an L, which would put them on the road as a wild card team and have to win three road games just to make it to Miami?
But the way Seattle's playing and how that this 49er team has played in Santa Clara this year, I think I agree with you. I was kind of 50-50 on it leading into the program, but the more we've talked about it, no, I think they need to go the rest of the way. And honestly, I think they can. It's not like their schedule's hard, but it's not terribly. It's not like these last three games, right?
Right.
Where I think you can look at it with the streaks that this team's put together. It's not out of reach to say that. And honestly, to be a Super Bowl team, you have to start thinking that way.
Absolutely.
You just have to.
Put your big boy pants on.
That's how you have to be. You think the guys in that locker room are like, oh man, we got to try to keep. No, like George Kittle, those guys, they know that. Like, let's win this whole thing. Let's just go on a run, baby.
Right. Why not? Why not us? That's got to be the mentality. Let's start with Brian in Los Altos. Go ahead, Brian. You're on 95.7 again. I said you're in the butcher shop, but I got Bootleg Butch with me.
Bootleg Butch.
Go ahead, Brian. What do you got, baby?
Hey, first of all, great show, guys. Really, really appreciate it.
Thanks,
all
Brian.
Good.
And I'm with you. They need to win. They need to win out. And I actually think they will. Number one, they're actually more hungry and worried than the Saints are. So the Saints are 10-2, but their next, I think the next team in their division is Tampa Bay at 5-7.
Yeah.
So they're not worried about.
They're already going to the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah, and well, not only going to the playoffs,
they're winning their division. It's sewn up.
They're going to win their division. So I think that actually plays in the Niners' favor. I think the Niners got a little bit of a bad taste in their mouth from Baltimore because they really could have won that game. So I think they're going to take it to them. I think then their next two games, I think it's Atlanta and the Rams. I think they'll beat both of them. And then I think Seattle, I think they want to show Seattle something because they weren't at full strength. I think they feel like they let that one get away. So I do think they're going to run the table. I think they're going to be the number one seed in the NFC West. And I think they're going to the bowl because they want to play the Ravens again.
I love it.
I think it's lining up. I'm all flipping in.
I love it, Brian. Great call, man. Great way to start us out. And if you're a 49er fan, take solace in this. Take Robert solace in this. The 49ers still control their own destiny. Oh, yeah, Sterling was like, no, I didn't like that. That's all right.
Brian kind of upstaged you with his usage of flipping.
Yeah.
Multiple flipping references.
Hey, sometimes.
That was pretty nice.
Yeah, well, you got to weave around that because we can't be dumping the call, you know. And Brian is the first call of the day. We can't have anybody F-bombing it up.
No.
Right out of the gate. I'm always worried that I'm going to F-bomb it.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time, like, how do you not swear on the radio? Because, you know, we've been apt to toss in a colorful word or two. And I say, when I'm on the air, I'm basically treating like I'm talking to like my high school girlfriend's parents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Got plenty of personality, having fun.
I'm taking notes here. Yeah.
Just having fun, but watch what you say now. Yeah. You're being judged.
So, Ryan, I want to ask you though, because that game against Seattle right at the end of the season, that week 17 game, are you okay? Or do you think that's really the only option of if it comes down to that game?
Well, I think it will come down to that game.
You think it will? That's a pseudo playoff game right there, 100%.
Sure.
Because you look at Seattle's schedule, and it's very similar to the 49ers where
Carolina, the Rams,
and then Arizona.
Yeah.
Arizona at home, two games on the road. Well, the Arizona game's here.
In Seattle. Yeah, in Seattle. I got you. Okay.
Yeah. And so their schedule almost is probably a little favorable in comparison to the 49ers.
It is favorable.
Atlanta. As bad as their record shows, I mean, there's talent on that team.
They can hurt you
with guys, right?
Right.
And Julio's going to be back healthy this week, too, so he's going to be waiting for you here. So they're going to have to – they have to win it all. They have to win out.
The great news, though, is Matt Ryan gets sacked about 57 times a game, and this 49ers defense, I think, will smother him. Mm. And that's, I think, the recipe for getting after Drew Brees this weekend, getting pressure with four. We got a lot of sound, but when you call in, you get rewarded here on 95.7 The Game, and that's why we go to Dave in San Mateo. Go ahead, Dave. What's going on, baby?
Hey, guys. Great show, man. Love your energy. And about energy, that's what we need to beat these guys. Whoever wants this game is gonna win the game. If they can stop Kamara, I think they had a good shot at it, and you're totally right about gotta win out. So, you know what? The first thing I got to say is there's been big energy at guy. I want the candlestick, but Levi's, and it just feels like a different team.
Yeah. No, it does. That's a great call. Thanks, yeah. Dave. And I got to say, like, how many years, Tommy, did we hear, oh, Levi's Stadium doesn't have heart, it doesn't have a soul, this and that, and it's like, well, because they haven't won any football games there. So as soon as they start to win football games, the stadium will look a little more imposing. You know what? Levi's needs a playoff game.
They do.
It needs a playoff game.
I've been to every home game this season, and being out there for the Seattle game and the Green Bay game, man, that was real football atmosphere. Like, you could feel that tension in there. It felt like, you know, walking around out there that I was suiting up.
Right.
Just the energy that you were feeling, like, man, I want to put my hand in the dirt there, like, somebody hit me, you know, kind of thing, because that's the type of vibe it was getting, and everybody wants to chirp at Levi Stadium. And, you know, I had only been there a handful of times to some of the losing games. I've been to a lot of the Pac-12 games that were out there, and yeah, it did feel a little stale. Well, now this season has built that kind of culture this year, and this is what they've needed, a winning year. And so, of course, I think that how they've shown out this season so far in those primetime games especially, that a playoff game there would be cracked in Kobe.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's be real, man. This is a blue blood franchise, and I know the whole, like, the Niners fan, the days of Niners fans rolling around with a sense of entitlement, those are long gone, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's you're just fighting for your place at the table now. And that's how it should be, because that's a hungrier fan base. But make no mistake about it. With what this team did in the 80s, you know, solidifying their place in NFL lore, and then with Jim Harbaugh coming in and kind of restoring it, getting them back to the Super Bowl. This franchise has a deep fan base. Look at how they've traveled on the road.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like when they've gone to LA, dude, there's going to be a crap ton of 49ers fans in the Bayou on Sunday. There'll be a lot more Saints fans, but there's going to be a lot of 49ers fans at that game.
There was a video kind of floating around on Twitter of a group of 49er fans getting on a plane to New Orleans, and everybody was singing the Bang Bang Niner game
Love
song.
It. Yeah. Well, and so I'm a big Bear fan, Tommy, you know that, and I go see the Bears play every year somewhere on the road, me and my best friend. It's something that we do.
Awesome.
I made his wife promise us that, like, I get him one weekend out of the year, like, at their rehearsal dinner, right? When I gave my little speech, I was like, by the way, one weekend out of the year. She's like, oh, you can have them. Okay.
I need a break.
It was all good. Yeah, exactly. So one weekend a year. And so Bears fans, they're like Niner fans. They travel, man. Mm. And there's, you know, there's a lot of, like, transplants, you know, in the Bay Area, et cetera. This, you know what? Like, it sucks to me, Tommy, that the Raiders are leaving, because I just want football in the Bay.
It does.
Right?
Yeah.
And that stinks. But hey, now 49ers going to have this thing all to themselves.
Yeah. I just think it would just be a massively special moment to have that first playoff game in Levi Stadium with the season that they've had, right? It's not like they're scrapping their way to get in, even though kind of now they are in a way, but this team has been one of the best in the NFL. And so they deserve to host a playoff game, because going from what, four wins last season to where they are now, and the job Kyle Shanahan's done, I mean, it's really a pat on the back. And there was a lot of me. I was very critical of this team this year. I thought that they were thin. I did not believe in the depth of the team. I didn't believe really that much in Jimmy Garoppolo and how they've kind of flipped the script this year. I mean, it's been impressive.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of folks around the NFL felt like it was just a matter of time for Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
He just, like, needed to get his franchise quarterback, because it's so easy to do the, oh, they were 10-22. Like, just do the forensic analysis on this, okay? Mm. Kyle Shanahan, they inherited an absolute train wreck of a roster, of a front office. There was leaks galore. Remember, John Lynch said he wouldn't take the job until he was confident that it wouldn't leak out over the weekend, just to kind of test the waters and see if, you know, things were as bad as he had heard. You know, and then you get your five games. They lost those five games by, what, 13 points, Shanahan's first year?
So even with close games.
Yeah, even with that horrible roster with Brian Hoyer and CJ Beathard, they were in a lot of games. Then you get Jimmy, you get the 5-game winning streak.
Yeah.
You get off to a bit of a slow start last year, but dude, you played at Minnesota, at Kansas City, you know, the home opener against Detroit, they won. I know they didn't look great, but you know, there was reason to believe that things were going to get going. Then boom, Jimmy tears his ACL. Like, you lose your franchise quarterback, like, damn near no team can deal with losing it, but especially a team that's not that deep, and the margin of winning and losing is so razor thin. So to judge Kyle Shanahan on anything before this year, it's almost not only unfair, it's almost silly.
Mm.
So judge Kyle Shanahan on what you've seen when he's had his quarterback, and he's got a defense, and he can call his full complement of plays. And that's what we've seen this year. And you're right, Tommy, you hit on it last segment. Sean Payton.
Yeah.
For an offensive mind like Kyle Shanahan, he's kind of the standard, right?
Yeah.
Because Belichick, he's a D guy. He's a D coordinator for the Giants back in the day. Belichick's roots are in D.
Mm.
And we know Belichick's top of the mountain. But
yeah,
as far as offensive acumen, et cetera. I mean, what is Andy Reid, Sean Payton?
Yeah.
Like, who am I
Sean
Payton
probably gets the number one just because he's won
the
Super Bowl.
He got the bowl, baby.
Yeah.
Who else? Am I leaving anybody out as far as...
I mean, we're so infatuated
Bruce
with that.
Bruce Arians?
Bruce Arians is probably 100% up there. I would give him a seat on at that table, no doubt. But, Covey, what's interesting is we're talking about how much this team's won this year and how great of a season it is. Well, we haven't seen them lose two games in a row. You know, if we're talking Monday... And this New Orleans game is a loss. I think the vibe is completely different. Are you kind of hanging on the fringe of your seat at that point? Because, yeah, you're almost looking – you're like you're locked in, barring a massive mistake from Seattle as that wild card position.
Right. Well, and I thought – that's why I said before this whole streak started, before the Green Bay game, I threw it out to 49ers fans. I said, if I offered you 1-2 right now but nobody got hurt, would you take it? You know, and
a lot of people said yeah. A lot of people said yeah, but now I think you – You can do that.
Of course, yeah. Well, you've already got your win, so you're good. and look, the Saints can be had. And what the 49ers, what I think is going to really hinge on this game is the fact that the 49ers can get pressure with four.
Yeah.
And they can make life uncomfortable.
You don't have to worry about
Drew
Brees. A running quarterback, too, right?
Yeah,
that's a big factor.
Yeah, they've been chasing Lamar and Russ and Kyler. 888-957-9570. What's this game hinging on for you? And do you think the San Francisco 49ers need to win the rest of their games if they want to hoist a Lombardi trophy? Let's go to Jay in San Jose. Sounds like he doesn't think they need to win out. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Sure, man.
Rest easy, salty. And
no doubt.
What? The Niners don't have to win all out. All we have to do is bring our defense to every single game and just do our best. As long as we don't get hurt, we're in this thing. We're going to win it. You know what? I feel bad for Brees. He's going to get just demolished. the defense is hungry, and they're just going to just destroy him. Brees hasn't seen a defense like this all year.
All right, thank you. All right, thanks, Jay. Appreciate the call, man. He got a let's go in there. No, you good. You good. I think... That's something that we need to really be talking about, Tommy, is what has Drew Brees seen this year? We know he got hurt earlier in the year. The Saints, historically, one of the better offensive teams. But, I mean, this year, they've been kind of middle of the pack. You know, they've been hanging their hat more on what their run defense has been able to do. But for the most part, Drew Brees, he hasn't seen anything like what the 49ers are bringing this weekend. Pressure with four. And let's face it, you hit on it, not a mobile quarterback. And this team's kind of in a bad mood right now, right?
Yeah. And honestly, where this game really comes down to me, and you talk about getting pressure on Drew Brees specifically, is Terron Armstead, an all-pro type of tackle for the Saints, is questionable right now.
Yeah.
You know, he might not be playing, and that's the guy that's going to line up across from Nick Bosa.
Yeah, he's a game-time decision.
Yeah, Nick Bosa, you know, he's been really steady, but you haven't seen that big popping game from him for a little while. I think really... this is it right now because, Covey, we were talking about it before the show. I think with the Saints offense, it comes and goes with a guy named Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
And you're not gonna shut him out.
Yeah.
You can't take him out of the game plan. So it starts with just causing havoc on Brees specifically.
Yeah, I think the whole notion of game planning to stop Michael Thomas, to stop the Saints, I think that's a fool's errand. Mm. Michael Thomas is going to get his. I think you sell out to stop the run. Drew Brees isn't going to throw the football down the field. He's not a deep ball guy. He likes those high percentage throws. That's who Drew Brees has been, that short passing game, high percentage, high completion, low turnover potential. And how do you disrupt that? You disrupt the timing of that. It's all NFL offenses are all based on timing. You disrupt that timing, you throw off everything. And that's what the 49ers can do, getting pressure with four. And the faster you get to Drew Brees, obviously, makes Michael Thomas less of a factor getting in and out of his breaks. And I don't think we're going to see some, like, you know, shadow for Michael Thomas. There's trust in K'Wan Williams in the slot. There's trust in Akilah Witherspoon. Wherever Michael Thomas lines up, Robert Saleh's not going to adjust his defense. He might bring help in certain areas.
You can't do that in the modern NFL.
You just can't.
You can't, because they're going to create mismatches in other spots of the field. You use that guy as a decoy, things like that. It's just, that's not how the game works anymore. You're not going to see Richard Sherman shadow play on an island with Michael Thomas. It's just never a good thing. And honestly, Covey, I mean, Eman, they've all played really well in the secondary this year. So you just have to have a little bit of trust and faith. I know Jaquaski Tartt's a little banged up, and Jimmy Ward, you know, think guys like that, where you're going to have to really lean on some of these guys in the secondary and just hope to not get beat necessarily over the top, give up those big type of splash plays. Because we've seen when this offense does stall, they get a little chunky. They get a little clunky when it comes to New Orleans. They've three games, no touchdowns.
Right.
Three NFL games with no touchdowns.
Yeah, and you know who I got a lot of trust in? the NFC Defensive Player of the Month for November.
Amazing.
Fred Warner, baby. Mm. He's incredible.
Incredible player.
If Fred Warner isn't going to the Pro Bowl this year, I'm done with football.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, if I had Defensive Player of the Year vote, I mean, I think he's deserving of some of that. I don't know if he is the guy, but I mean, he deserves a vote on that wagon.
He's in the conversation.
And what's so impressive about him, and I don't hear it get talked about enough, is everyone wants to talk about his speed and his coverage skills and, you know, being around the football. What he does so well is he's so good at the mind game aspect of football. The reason he's by the football, it's not like he leans on his athleticism. He's just smart. This guy can diagnose offenses to a T. So I'm excited to see the mental matchup of the one-on-one Drew Brees versus Fred Warner, because Fred Warner, all season, even last year when he took over as the Green Dot, he's getting his guys in the right spot. And that is so important for a linebacker, for this defense. This defense would not be the same without him.
Oh, without question. And he lost his fellow hot boy in Quan Alexander. Now, I think Dre Greenlaw has done a really nice job. Aziz Al-Ansari.
Al-Shahir,
thank you. Yeah. Not Aziz Ansari, the comedian guy. No, yeah, Aziz Al-Shahir, thank you. Excuse me.
Tommy Timberlake.
Yeah, thank you. He had the bad personal foul last week against Lamar Jackson, but, you know, he's been okay. But Fred Warner, he's the linchpin. And, you know, the 49ers, they play so much nickel, Tommy, where they usually, their base defense is with K-1 in the slot, so they're usually only rolling two linebackers out there, and they play that wide nine, so that means the DNs are pushed out even further to the sidelines. That leaves the center of the field even more vulnerable. So Fred Warner has such a large area to patrol. So he's doing that. He's pass protecting. Obviously, he's been stellar in the run game. And he's doing all that while also diagnosing the offense, you know, what he's seeing at the line of scrimmage and kind of calling out, you know, spots for his fellow defenders.
That play last week where he was down the field on Hollywood Brown.
Incredible.
I mean, you just don't see plays like that from a linebacker.
You don't see plays like that from corners.
Yeah, you see, like, that's Luke Kuechly level, a special where you're like, what's Luke Kuechly doing down the field? Like, well, that's just Luke Kuechly doing his thing. Well, now you can start saying that similar type of thing about Fred Warner.
Absolutely. So we mentioned getting pressure with four on Drew Brees. Here's what Drew Brees said yesterday about the 49ers front four.
They've been able to get a ton of pressure just with their front four, and that's such an asset. You know, it allows them to have more people in coverage, more eyes on the ball. You know, they've been able to generate a lot of negative plays that way. They've been able to generate a lot of turnovers that way. So, yeah, that's the number one recipe for a good defense is when you can get after people with the front four.
Yeah, and by the way, love the ping pong game in the background.
What's your ping pong game like?
You know, it used to be a lot better. I used to play a lot more. Yeah. Right? Yeah, like a lot of the high school buddies, you know, get together. You know, if there was nothing really cracking, you know, that Friday or Saturday, or even like a little weeknight hangout session. Yeah, a little ping pong for sure. Yeah.
But I heard you're quite the man on the sticks when it comes to the PlayStation.
I mean, if you want to see me in FIFA, like Lucas got the work last night.
Yeah, I heard you're handing out lessons.
If you want the work, just come get it.
Two-piece and a soda.
It's all good. Yeah. You know what I mean? No hard feelings. You know, obviously they brought in the PS4. Just to let everybody know, here at 95.7, we got like a really nice lounge area with some couches, and that's where everybody kind of hangs out during the day. And we got a couple of big TVs out there, and somebody hooked up a PS4 out there. So I came in yesterday, saw the PS4. First thing I said was, "Who wants to work?" You know,
You think it's going to get after a little bit in there? That's going to create some.
You know what's funny? That's what I was kind of driving at was, it was brought in probably to like kind of raise morale and build camaraderie. Cats are going to get their feelings hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
The chances of what's the over-under and how many days one of those controllers lasts before they get broken?
Bro, people here are so soft. Yeah. I mean, come on. You know how soft some of the people we work with are. So they get their feelings all in a tizzy. So
that's me.
As soon as I get them with that Mo Salah hat trick, you know what I mean? They won't even know.
You run with Liverpool, huh? I got to.
That's my squad, baby.
You don't run like Spain or something. I hate playing FIFA against someone who's going to put out like Barcelona.
Yeah,
like,
Liverpool, if I could just be quite frankly, Liverpool's the best club in the world right now, and I don't even think it's close. So it's not like I'm, you know, going out on a limb there playing Liverpool, but that also just happens to be my squad.
For sure.
I was playing Liverpool 5 years ago.
Yeah, no, that's your team. That's your squad.
So it's all good. I got a rep. You came in
you know, with a little jaunt to your step.
Hey, they handled business Man City lost. Let's go. Yeah. All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. I want to talk a little bit about Michael Thomas and his involvement in this game and just where he ranks right now, and also the opportunity that Kyle Shanahan has to go up against Sean Payton. And of course, you know, in a game like this, Kyle Shanahan, the young offensive savant, Sean Payton, the old wise sage offensive mind. Of course, Shanahan was asked about Sean Payton's play calling. Here's what he said.
He's right up there there, not the top. You know, Sean's been, you know, one of the best, if not the best, for a very long time. And you can see his personality and his play calling, how creative he is, how aggressive he is. And he's going to keep coming at you every play and attack your coverages. And he's a guy I always try to watch pretty much every week.
And you know what's funny, Tommy? You know, I wonder how many times an NFL coach is like sitting on the couch watching Sunday Night Football, you know, or, you know, whenever they have time to do anything, and they see a play like that another coach runs, and then when they're watching the film, they're like, oh, that would work with my
copycat league.
I'm putting that
copycat
in,
league.
Right?
And got to do it.
And make a little subtle variation on it. You know, I might not bring the end in motion, or, you know what I'm saying? I might not bring the slot, the flanker, you know, whatever. Like, all the little subtle ways you could tinker with a play, but I'll bet that stuff happens all the
time. And if there's
time.
Any guy you're going to take that from, I think it's two coaches from this game specifically, with Sean Payton and Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, just how much the Kyle Shanahan, like, effect is going to have as far as getting his coaching staff poached next year. I mean, I think Robert Saleh is definitely going to be on the list. Chris Kocurek's done a nice job.
He might
be up for a D coordinator.
Mike McDaniel, the offensive guy, the run game coordinator. I think, me personally, if I was an owner looking for a young, kind of hot coach that could take over my team, this is a guy that's been involved in the NFL since he was like 23 years old. He's like 31 right now or something. That's the guy that I put to the top of the list. Don't discount Mike McDaniel's going to get some head coaching interviews at least this
for
year.
For sure. No, I totally agree. Did you hear the Bill Belichick's kid? The sound of his kid.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Like,
I thought that was
me?
A joke at first, right. When I first saw it.
That's a real thing.
Wow.
That's a real person.
Yeah.
And that's... We don't need to wait for the paternity test on the Maury Povich show.
Yeah.
We know what time it is. That's Belichick's kid.
Yeah. What's up with the do? You respect the mullet game?
Of course, man.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I rolled into 24 Hour Fitness in Walnut Creek the other day, and this dude had a beautiful mullet. I like to take pictures of mullets. I'm kind of a mullet connoisseur.
Yeah.
So when I see
like
him out in
Joe
public.
Joe Dirt's the Mount Rushmore
for sure.
Mullet.
Yeah. So when I'm out and about, the Billy Ray Cyrus, you know, or like the old OG hockey mullet. So when I'm out on the town, you know, I like to check in on mullets and take pictures and like put them on social media.
When I'm out on the town, I like to check in on mullets.
You know
not
what I mean? Just check my Twitter timeline, bro, at Ryan Covey. It goes down. 888-957-9570 is the number. 925 says, LOL, dude, Liverpool was good 5 years ago. No, they weren't winning. They had Brendan Rodgers, dog. I know my squad, okay? They were barely top four in the Premier League. They weren't even in the Champions League, okay? I know they were good, but they weren't the best damn team in the frickin' world. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Chilton Autobody text line 95795. Who's got the best mullet going right now? I think that's an interesting question to delve into. Also, in all seriousness, what's the key to stopping the New Orleans Saints? What's the key for you? Is it Kamara? Is it Breeze? Is it Michael Thomas? What about that defense? Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Davenport, Cameron Jordan. We'll talk about all that coming up. He's Tommy Call. I'm Ryan Covey. This is The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
It's Tommy Call, y'all, and Ryan Covey. Hey. Hope everybody's having a lovely Saturday riding around, getting that Christmas shopping done. It's December 7th. Christmas is going to be here before
you
know it.
Do you already got some Christmas gifts?
I got most of it in the book. I know my lady's at work right now, so it's all good. I got the big gift all squared away, baby. Yeah.
My girl, she's already got my presents wrapped under the tree. Yeah. It just makes me feel horrible. It makes me feel incredibly lazy.
So I got stuff coming in the mail this week. Like, you know, I do a lot of my shopping online.
You got to.
Just handle it, baby.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, so I got like mom and dad's gifts, my sister's gift. Dude, my girl got Knuckles, my dog, of course. Everybody knows.
Everybody love knows Knuckles. Yeah.
We're getting them a test, you know, a breed test, like a paternity test. Yeah, so we can figure out like what specific breed Knucks
Man,
is.
Man, we should have cornered that market.
I know, right?
Dude, that's someone's sitting on big bills right now for giving out dog paternity tests.
Telling you, man, that's it.
Wow.
So yeah, if you're riding around doing Christmas shopping or whatever and hanging out, you want to talk a little football,
888-957. This is like the pregame show to Santa Claus. People are getting after it. We need to play those bangers coming in a little louder and, you know, people are pregaming right now.
All right, well, 888-957-9570. Is the number in the Chilton Autobody text line 95795. So I threw out the stat a little bit earlier that I heard on D. Bruce's show, and a couple of people wanted me to clarify a few things. I see in 925 and 859. So just to clarify, the 49ers in their franchise history have won a total of 5 road games. And in order to go and win the Super Bowl, if you're a wild card, you would have to win 3 straight games on the road. That's what the 49ers would be facing. Unless by some miracle, the number 6 seed wild card also made it to the conference championship, yeah. In which case that game would be at Levi Stadium with the 49ers as the 5 seed playing against whoever the 6 seed is, whether it's Minnesota, the Rams, the Bears, whoever. Mm. So that's the only way. And 510 said, so now you're just being an ass. If you don't think the 49ers can beat Dallas, Philly, and the Seahawks on the road, then you just haven't been watching NFL football this year. No, I'm not being an ass. I'm actually being very pragmatic and very sensible, which is if – You can win one of those games. Mm. You might even be able to win two of those games. Personally, I don't think you're winning all three of them. I just don't.
And do you really want? Is that the situation?
And why would you
want
to do that?
Yeah, like what is that? Is that?
Do we know what Jimmy Garoppolo is going to look like in a playoff game? And I've taken up for 10 more than anybody on the station. I love Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a dope quarterback. Mm. But I don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo is going to look like in a playoff game.
So for you, for Jimmy Garoppolo, the game against the Ravens and the game against Green Bay. Was that it for you, or all along you were all in? Like, this guy can win in January.
I know what time it is. Like, I've watched enough football, Tommy, where I look at things like poison the pocket, right? Command of the huddle, okay? The way that you conduct yourself. And just the inherent belief that, like, this guy's going to get the job done when it matters. Mm. When they've needed him to take him down the field against Pittsburgh, he did it. Against Arizona, he did it. When they were down 16-0.
How he responds to turnovers.
Right.
You know, the guy's money that next drive after turnovers.
Quarterbacks are going to make mistakes. Yeah. Now, I know the Jimmy G apologists are going to say, well, he's only had a handful of starts. What is it, 23? So Baker Mayfield's got more starts. And then the Jimmy G haters are going to say, yeah, but he was a Tom Brady understudy, and he came from the Patriot system, and he's a little older and wiser, so he should be better than those guys. Mm. The right answer is probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I expect Jimmy to be better than a guy that's literally in his second year in the NFL, like, you know, 24 months removed from playing college football. I absolutely agree with that. And you think about what being an understudy and not being pressed into service so quickly did for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who I think would have been good anyway. But when guys have a little bit of time to wait and they don't get forced in there, I think that's so beneficial to his development. But for Jimmy, everything he's done since he's come here, he's looked the part. Like, what's been the biggest knock? He's thrown some picks.
Yeah, bad turnovers at times.
But
you
know what? That's what guys, young quarterbacks will do. And when I mean young, like inexperienced quarterbacks, I guess is a better way to describe it. And I think the good news is with Garoppolo, these are things that he can get better with over time. Right? I think this is something that Jimmy G can clean up. And Kyle Shanahan has catered this offense for a lot of high percentage throws. Jimmy doesn't have to throw into a lot of tight windows. A lot of times cats are running wide open. And think about this, Tommy. Jimmy's numbers would look a whole hell of a lot better if not for two things. He's had several touchdowns called back on penalties, and he's had several bad drops.
Bad.
I mean, egregious drops at the worst times. And through it all, he still has really nice numbers.
Yeah, so what I'm taking from this is you have serious confidence in January, right? Because I think that's the biggest question. Like, we know to an extent, I think to a pretty large extent, of what Jimmy Garoppolo is as a quarterback, who he is as a quarterback in the NFL. Where does that rank to you when it comes to things like the playoffs? Because you look at the NFC specifically, and you have Russ, you have Drew Brees, you have Aaron Rodgers, who he beat this year. But even going into that, Dak Prescott, who I understand the Cowboys are a dumpster fire. They're a mess. But even a Kirk Cousins, I mean, you'd probably put Jimmy Garoppolo in that lower quadrant, right? And how important is quarterback play? Because look at some of the playoff pictures we've seen from the last couple of years. It's all the top quarterbacks in the NFL in that final four of the playoffs.
You got to pop your cherry sometime, man. Yeah. Like, you know, you got to start getting that experience now. That's why the fact that this team, you know, if you want to call it ahead of schedule, whatever, that's the greatest news ever, to get all these guys some playoff experience so we can see. But like I said before, Jimmy's gone through all the preparation. He's been, you know, on the sidelines and in the film room and sitting next to the greatest to ever do it during all those moments, seeing how all that develops. I think Jimmy's the kind of quarterback, the same kind of quarterback, let me put it like this. The same kind of quarterbacks that can take teams down the field in the fourth quarter, even when they're not having their best game, like he was able to do against Seattle, like he was able to do against Pittsburgh, when they absolutely needed a drive. Even against Baltimore, I hated the 4th-and-1 call, but I actually thought Jimmy in the second half played a lot better than he did in the first half, right? Yeah. 49ers started to control the time of possession, etc. So every time he's been called upon and like where he's needed to get the job done and take them down the field, he's done it. The quarterbacks that have that in their DNA, they're made of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Those are the same kind of quarterbacks I feel like can do it in the playoffs. They don't wet themselves when the moment's big.
I'm on the same page with you because all along, all season long, I've been at these games. I've seen this guy play from training camp practices. He's tough, man. His toughness, his grit, right? Which is something that not every quarterback in the NFL has.
Yeah, and it's, you can't grit. Quantify it on a stat sheet. You know how you quantify that? Wins and losses, man.
And I think that if you're going to have all the stats in the world, but maybe you're lacking – the toughness, the grit of it. I think that's what wins in the playoffs, similar to things like defense and running the football. You have to have a quarterback to be a little gutty.
That powder puff stuff don't cut it, man.
That's why Andy Reid's, the Chiefs and things like that get eliminated year in and year out, because there is a lot of fluff there at times.
Finesse. Yeah. And coming into this year, I kind of felt like the 49ers defense was finesse. They're not finesse anymore. This defense has attitude. And, the texter, call me an ass, whatever. I don't really care about that. But point is, do I think the 49ers could go into Dallas or Philadelphia and win? Yeah. Could they go on the road and maybe win two games? Sure. But to go on the road.
You're nervous about it.
Three straight. But the whole point is, even one road playoff game is tough. And just to give you the history, because I had a texter ask me, okay, well, you said they've won five games on the road as a franchise. What's their road playoff record? Well, the 49ers as a franchise have played 52 playoff games. They're 31-21 overall. Pretty damn good. 21-9 at home, 5-11 on the road, 5-1, obviously, on neutral site games in the Super Bowl. So 5-11 on the road in their 16 playoff games. I mean, and by the way, Colin Kaepernick won three of those road playoff games in a two-year span.
I don't have the drops in front of me to play the applause drop, but you deserve a little something there, because that's a thank you. That's a hell of a stat. That's a professional right
I appreciate
there.
That. Thank yeah. you. No, I got the internet, so I was able to.
Yeah, but still, sometimes working that internet machine's pretty
working
tough.
That Google?
Yeah,
working
yeah.
that Google?
Yeah, the W.
Hey, let's go to Mike in Oakland, because Mike has a take, and I actually totally subscribe to this, and I said it on these airwaves right after the game. But, Mike, I will let you explain. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. So the question is, and I've been wanting to ask anyone from the station this, really, what would the record be if we took that tie with Seattle? If that game ended up with a tie and they had that tie or that one tie on it, what would the record be? I'll take the comments off air. Love you guys. Thank you very much. Happy holidays.
Sure, Mike. All right. They would both be 10-1-1. That's the deal. But what would have happened was, at the time, the Seattle Seahawks wouldn't have gained ground. And the way the tiebreaker scenarios work out, obviously head-to-head would be the most important, and they're still going to play the game in Seattle. So that wouldn't have affected things very much. But it would have given you an opportunity to hold off Seattle at that point, right? Because the reason the Seattle is ahead of the 49ers right now is because they beat them head-to-head. Mm. If they tied right now, the 49ers would be ahead of the Seahawks on head-to-head. The tiebreakers go down the list.
Record,
no, well, they're
right?
both seven. They would both be 7-1 in the conference. I'd have to get the tiebreaker scenarios in front of me, but the 49ers would still be ahead of them. And regardless of any of that, what it would have done that night is the Seattle Seahawks wouldn't have gained ground on them, right? And that's why, and normally, obviously, you don't go into a game playing a tie. I get that. Like, that's the last thing you want. You want to win. Well, the last thing you want is to lose, but you go into a game trying to win. But when they got that rock back with, 2 minutes left, whatever
less
it was.
Less than that.
Yeah, less in overtime.
It's like a 40-second drive.
And they went three and out. Yeah. I said, dude, you can't have it. Just can't have it.
Do you think that played into the effect of how Shanahan used the game in Baltimore at all? Do you think he was thinking about that at all?
If he did, then shame on him. Because it's one thing to do it at the end of a game where we know the game's over. There was still another half of football to play.
Yeah.
Right? You're on the road. Like, you got a chance to go, and it was 17-14, and you were gouging them with the run. Like
7.7 yards per carry from Raheem Mostert.
What was that? That was
bad.
Inexcusable, and hopefully Shanahan will learn from it. And I know he downplayed it in the post game, and he said that was the plan. But once they got the gain, I think it was Debo got like a 7 or 8 yard catch. Maybe it was Kendrick Bourne. I can't remember, but I know they got a nice gain. It was 1st and 20, and then Bourne hits for 8 or 9 yards.
Yeah.
And that's when they let the clock run down a bunch. It's like, go.
Yeah.
You got three timeouts. And you're at like the 38.
And we've seen Kyle Shanahan be so strategic with being aggressive and attacking and using the clock to his advantage. So it was a bizarre situation too. And then I know you're not the biggest fan of the play call specifically on the fourth down late in the game, right?
Give the ball to Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, and especially the formation too was a little weird. But and I wrote about this week, I wrote a column for 95.7 The Game, and it was like, I can live with that just because I want an aggressive coach on the road in that situation. I don't agree with the play call, but instead of for kicking or something like that, I understand that's kind of a bad excuse. But for 49er fans, we're talking about how tough the stretch of games is going to be, right? Where you need an aggressive coach to win in the NFL. And I think we're going to see more games like this down this way. This NFC is tough, man. And the 49ers are going to be in some situations where they're going to need to get a little risky. And I just have faith seeing Kyle Shanahan. I just hope now that he didn't get it, that he goes backwards, right? And say, yeah, now I want to kick or something like that, or be conservative with the football.
Yeah, you can't afford that. Scare money doesn't win. We know that. The reason that I advocated for the tie right there against Seattle is because you want to take losing the game off the table.
Yeah.
And if you could take that off the table, I'll live with that.
You're going against an AFC team. Right. You're playing a little bit with house money.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the deal, just to kind of remind everybody how that all broke down. So the 49ers obviously got the ball back inside of a minute. Well, they had the ball with more than a minute left. There was the penalty on the drive. Oh, I had the drive in front of me right here. Yeah, there we go. So on first and 10 from the 44, there was a minute 20 left on the clock. Completes a pass to Kittle, but there was the penalty on Emmanuel Sanders for the illegal block. So that pushed him back to the 34. So it's first and 20 from the 34 with a minute 20 left on the clock. Jimmy Garoppolo completes a pass to Deebo Samuel for 8 yards. Okay, so now you're at the 42. Mm. The 40, you're damn near at midfield, and it's second and 12. It's not second and 20. It's not second and 18. Yeah. It's second and 12. And by the way, Raheem Mostert's been gouging him. You still have a minute 20 second left. You have all three of your timeouts. Running the rock is still in play at that point.
Yeah.
You don't have to have just Jimmy five wide set and let's, you know, hope that he doesn't
throw
fumble
to the sideline.
Yeah, you don't have to do any of that. Literally, your entire playbook is open to you, and you're at the 42. And oh yeah, you've had kicking problems this year, so you think if you want to play for a field goal, maybe you might want to get a little closer than that. That was with a minute 20 seconds left. The next play didn't conclude the Raheem Mostert run, which by the way was for 16 yards. Didn't conclude until there was 29 seconds left. That whole play sequence right there took, was that, 49 seconds of game clock away from them.
Yeah.
In a time where they had three timeouts in a 17-14 game on the road against the hottest team in football, where you were gouging them with the run. I'm sorry. Like, to me, that's inexcusable. That's kind of like Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC title game in Foxborough saying, oh, we're good with the lead we have. We're just going to sit on the clock with like a minute and a half left. It's like, are you high? You're trying to beat Tom Brady. Like, you're trying to beat Lamar Jackson. You're trying to beat the Ravens. Like, and there was eight. They had eight possessions in the game.
Yeah.
When you have eight possessions, do you think every possession's critical?
Of course. I do. Especially with how dominant the Ravens, and we knew this coming in, how dominant they were with time of possession and things like that. You don't get the football much against them. They take 6-minute drives and things like that time and time again. They're the best time of possession team in the NFL.
No.
So yeah, it was a very bizarre look. But honestly, Kyle Shanahan's been a guy all season long that's really learned from his mistakes.
Yeah.
He has. He gets a little too cute at times, but I think that's just who he is as a play caller. That's just who the guy is as an NFL coach. So you have to live and die with it a little bit at times. But this week, against a guy like Sean Payton, that's, you know, you can't get away with stuff like that. You cannot, or else that game's going to turn real big.
Yeah, and I think an underrated aspect of this game that not a lot of people are talking about is the environment in the Superdome.
Wow.
Both these teams are 10-2, couple of NFC powerhouses. Everybody I've ever talked to, that's been around football and been to all the stadiums says the Superdome is like no other.
Well, and Tukove, think of the history that these teams have, right? They've played some dogfights. You know, along the way in recent memory.
Yeah, the Ahmad Brooks penalty game cost them home field years ago. Butch was talking about that.
Things like that. So this game, I think, means a little bit to the Seattle fans, right?
Well, they used to be in the same division back in the day.
Excuse me, Seattle fans, New Orleans.
I got you.
Yeah, and I think always, too, that in the back of every New Orleans Saints fan this time of year, you're going to think about the Minnesota Miracle. You're going to think about the whole the defensive
pass botchery.
Yeah, the defensive pass interference last year, things like that. They're kind of on this tour saying, come and get it a little bit. We're going to send a message to everybody. And they're looking at the 49ers in a way like, let's get it.
Yeah, this is a measuring stick game, and you know those fans will be up for it. I love Kyle Shanahan. Listen to this sound. This is classic Kyle Shanahan. This is why I'm just feeling this dude, even though I just kind of laid him out a little bit.
I mean, it's right up there. I mean, they can get going big in there, especially when their team's playing like they are. I'm very glad it's an earlier game. It only gets worse the later it gets, but it won't be much of a difference. I mean, it's as loud as it can be. I think it was good for us to be in Baltimore the week before. I think that was the loudest stadium we had to deal with so far this year. New Orleans will be the exact same, if not louder.
Yeah, obviously he's referring to folks having a little time to lubricate themselves during the day and have a couple of cocktails, a couple of hurricanes.
I want to kind of just really, kind of off subject, but a question I want to ask you.
Going off brand? Usually stay on brand.
Well, I just want to ask you, because you're a fantasy football guy, and I know a lot of people are probably sitting and looking at this game, too, and every game, because
shout out Waiver Wire Boys Podcast, 957thegame.com, peep game.
So I want to ask the people, do you have any, because Steven and I, this is usually we have a little thing on Saturdays.
Have I come between you guys? Am I sitting in Steven's chair right now?
No.
Am I trying to tear you guys asunder?
Yeah, well, you know, you told me where I sat earlier. Yeah. You know, it throws you off a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well,
it does.
You're kind of throwing
I'm getting used to it. Yeah.
You're throwing me off a little bit. You know?
So it goes both ways?
Yeah, but
hey, nice, by the way, Stephen Langford, nice guy Stephen, was supposed to be on the show today.
I know. I miss
like,
him.
Where are you at?
Yeah,
that's what I want to know. Where
are
you at?
I miss you, man.
Yeah, because you're stuck here with me.
Yeah, a little bit.
Showing you how the big boys do it.
I'm intimidated.
I got you.
I'm very
intimidated.
I think I'm just.
I'm terrified.
I'm like, every time you talk, I'm sitting here. Okay. Okay. 49ers.
I'm 5'8", by the way, so I don't think I'm 2'2". What are you about? 6'2"?
6'2", 6'3".
I'll dunk it.
I'm kind of a big deal.
I got a little slouch going sometimes, so I need it. If I you know, stand up straight like my mom says, I'm a little taller.
You're getting the FIFA sticks at some point, but go ahead.
Oh,
what's your
man.
Question?
No, this is a big fantasy football. It's playoffs, baby. I'm in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I got some questions. So every week on the Nice Call, we run a little fantasy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.